Today's daf is Megillah Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezras Hashem at the beginning of a new Masechta, Maseches Megillah. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chayim Aaron ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasid of Fruma Rivka, Elio, Zev ben Brindel, Mordechai ben Azriel, Chana Rivka bas Frey, the Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mindel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi ben Yuta, Gittel bas Chaya, Sara Nechama bas Rus Malka, Nosen Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roiza, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Sara Shainzel bas Yittel, Elio ben Silla, Hena Peril bas Yecheved, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Mordechai Tzvi ben Yosef, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David, and Chaim Doiv ben Shloima HaKoyen. So Masechtas Megillah really needs very little bit of an introduction. The backdrop of the Masechta, of course, is the Purim story, something that at least superficially we're all very, very familiar with. So rather than do a proper introduction, just to discuss some of the high-level points that we're going to Be'ezus Hashem encounter throughout the Masechta, and really some of the significances of the Yontif of Purim. So what exactly is Purim? Number one, Purim is a time that we celebrate a miracle that took place. There was a Rosha Merusha, his name was Haman. He had lobbied the king of Persia. He was one of the most powerful kings of all time, to impose a final solution against the Jews. Lahashmid, laharig, la'abed, es kol ha'yehudim. A miracle took place, and because of the miracle, the Yidden was speared. They went mimisa l'chaim. And it's for that reason that we celebrate and we remember this Yontif. The way we remember the Yontif is by reading the story of Purim, Megillas Esther. Additionally, there's certain mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah of Mishleach Manas. We have a mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yoinim. Persume Nisa is a big theme on Purim, but that's really what Purim is at its core. It's simply a time that we remember a great miracle that took place in our history. Stating that, there are a lot of other ideas that are associated with the Yontif of Purim. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos Daf Peches that when the Yidden were mekabel the Torah for the first time, they did it proverbially at gunpoint. The Yidden didn't really want to be mekabel the Torah, but kofaleim harkegigdus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Yidden to be mekabel the Torah. So although the Yidden were mekabel the Torah, and they were being shomer Torah mitzvahs with Nevi'im and tremendous madrigas for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, but the initial Kabbalah had been done on some inferior way. It was done ba'oinus, stating that there was one moment in history where the Yidden, as a nation, we're mekabel the Torah again, and this time they did it beratzen. This time they did it be'ahava. When was that? It was b'mei Achashverosh. The Gemara says, kimu v'kiblu, hoder kiblua b'mei Achashverosh. So the Yontif of Purim, in addition to being a time that we remember a miracle, it's also, to a degree, a time of Kabbalah HaTorah. It's a shvua, so to speak. It's a zman of Matan Torah. The Yidden were mekabel Torah again. This time it was beratzen. There's another idea that's very, very much associated with the Yontif of Purim, and that's more in the Torah of the Arizal. The Arizal said that Yom Kippur, or the way it's referred to in the Torah, Yom Kippurim is a Yom that's Kippur, meaning Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year. Vayerev, vayivoyku, Yom Echad. It's the day of Yom Kippur. But said the Arizal, on a deeper level, in Pnimiyas HaTorah, Yom Kippur is only with a Kaf HaDimyon. It's Keilu, the most chashuv day of the year. What then is really the most chashuv day of the year? It's Purim. Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim. Arizal said that if Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, meaning whatever Yom Kippur is, Purim is even more. Yom Kippur is a day of tefillah, which would mean that Purim is also a day of tefillah. And just like there's a mitzvah on Purim of Kol HaPoichet Yad Noislam Loi, the Svarim say that on Purim, there's such a concept when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Kol HaPoichet Yad Noislam Loi. So Purim is a day of chesed, matanas lavyonim, and mishloach manos. It's a day of Torah, hadik kibluah b'meach hashverosh, and it's a day of tefillah. It's a day of kol ha'poishet yad noisim loy. The three pillars on which the world stands are all extremely manifest in the Yontif of Purim. There's another idea that associates very, very strongly with the Yontif of Purim, and that is Milchemes Amalek. We know that Amalek chapit with the Yidden at a time where the Yidden were perceived by the nations of the world as being untouchable and invincible. And it's for that reason the Torah says we have to hold a grudge against Amalek. We can never forgive them. Timcha zecher Amalek mitachas hashamayim loy tishkach. There's really two mitzvahs of Amalek. There's a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did. Then there's a mitzvah to try to obliterate them and eradicate them from the face of the world. But the point is that Amalek is the nemesis of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Chazal say that what's going to bring the Geula when we're finally able to destroy Amalek? That's somehow associated with the Shem Havaya being complete and with the ultimate Geula. Now, throughout history, Amalek's, for the most part, gotten the better of us. But there was one moment of time where we, on a level, were successful in being able to defeat Amalek. And that was the Purim story. Haman wasn't just a bad guy. Haman was a descendant of Agag. He was the descendant of Amalek. And Chazal say in different places that the nitzachon of the Yidden kineged Haman was really a kiyum in machoy timcha as zecher Amalek. So there's a tremendous sub-theme in the Purim story which relates to one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, and that is machoy timcha as zecher Amalek. There's another very interesting idea that's associated with the Yontav of Purim, and that is the Rambam in the end of Perek Beis and Hilchas Megillah. So the Rambam says, kol sifrei hanaviyim, all the Sifrei Nevi'im, all the Ksuvim are all going to be bottled in Moisa Mashiach. There's one item in Ksuvim that we're going to have, and that's Megillas Esther. Harehi kayemes kechamishe chumshe toira ukehalachay shel toira shabapeh she'enon b'teilim la'olam. Just like the chamishe chumshe toira and the toira shabapeh we're going to have forever, so too says the Rambam, Megillas Esther is going to be the same exact way. Ve'afa pisha kol zichron hatzoris yibatel she'nemar kinishkechu hatzoris harishoynois v'chinistru me'ena. Even though all the Tzoris and all the miracles that happened, we're not going to need anymore. Why not? Because the miracles that are going to take place, La'asad Lavai, are going to make these miracles pale in comparison. So it's not going to be necessary to even talk about it, like the Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Masechtas Brachas. But Yemei Purim lo yibatlu. The Yemei Purim are going to be forever. Shenema v'Yemei Purim ha'elu lo yavru miteicha Yehudim v'zichram lo yosef mizarim. So this is something that we're going to have forever. So there's something about Purim that connects it to loss of love. So there's a lot here. There's, of course, at its core, the Purim story, but so much more in terms of what Purim represents as far as Yiddishkeit goes, and that's very much a backdrop in terms of what we're about to embark on, Masechtas Megillah. Now, as it relates to the first Mishnah, there is one sliver of the Purim story that we know this, but just reacquaint ourselves with a little bit, specifically the timeline of the Purim story. So we know that Haman is the Mishnah Lemelech Achashverosh, and he gets Achashverosh to agree to destroy the Jewish people. The question was when? Pick a date, put it on the calendar, we'll get to it, and now we have to go ahead and embark it. So Haman wasn't sure. So he made a geirel, and the geirel fell out that this was going to take place in Chodesh Adar. And then Haman had to pick a day. The day that he picked was Yud Gimel Adar. So he picks the 13th day of Adar. And this is a pasuk in Megillas Esther, just to read one of them. V'neshloyach svarim b'yad harotzim el kol medinois hamelech lahashmid laharug u'la'abed eskola Yehuda minarva adzokim taf v'noshim b'yoy mechad. What was this yoy mechad? What was the day that they were going to execute this final solution? It was b'shloysha asar l'chodesh ne'masar u'chodesh Adar u'shlalom l'vois. It was the 13th day of the 12th month. It was Yud Gimel Adar. That's the day that this was supposed to happen. As the Purim story developed, and as everything unfolded, and Esther comes to Achashverosh, Mihu Zeve Ezehu, and everything happened, so the whole story flipped. It was V'nahapachu LaYehudim, and Achashverosh told Esther that if you want, you can do to Haman everything that he wanted to do to you. Which was, so again, just reading one pasuk. Vayichtoiv b'shem ha-melech ha-chashverosh, vayachtoiv b'tabas ha-melech, vayishlach svarim, b'yad horotzim basusim roichvei horechesh, o'ach shteron b'nei haramokim, asher nosan ha-melech la-yehudim, asher b'chol ir v'ir li-hikoil, much more geschmack if you lay in it with a drop, v'lamoid al-nafshom, la-hashmid, v'la-haroig, u-la-abed, es kol chel amu medina hatzora moisem tafen noshem ushlalom lavois when? B'yoy mechad, one day, b'chom medina yisamelech achashverosh b'shloisha asar l'choydesh neymasar hu choydesh adar. And like the pasuk continues, several psukim later, hu b'shnei masar choydesh hu choydesh adar b'shloisha asar yoyim boy ashegi edvar hamelech v'dasik lehiasis b'yoy mehu asher sibru oyvei hayehudim lishloi pen v'nahapachu asher yishlatu hayehudim heime b'sayneim. It was literally v'nahapachu, the same exact day, yud gimel adar. That was the day that all the pashkevillim went out. You could do whatever you want to your Jewish neighbors. Their blood is and billig, it's hefker, just hunt them like deer. You could do whatever you want. That was the day that was v'nahapachu. That's when the whole story flipped around. So it was on that day that the Yidden were now given permission that they can go ahead and they could chepa with their neighbors. And that's exactly what they did. The psukim continue and say that it was on that day, on Yud Gimel Adar, that they killed Haman, they killed his 10 sons. This is all unfolding on one day. That's what happened. It was on one day. What day was it? It was on Yud Gimel Adar, stating that the pasuk says, "Vatoymer Esther." So Esther goes to the king and says, "Imal Amelach Toiv, Yinosein Gam Mocher La Yehudim Asher B'Shushan Lasois Kedas Hayon." I know you gave us one day. That's what Haman originally got. That's the Venahapachu. You gave us that one day, but I have a one request. Will you give me one more day? Just one more day. Vayomer Hamelech Lehiyoseis came. Vatinosin Das Bishushan. It was limited to Shushan. Vesaseres Bnei Haman Hol. Talo. So in Shushan, they got one more day. And then the pasuk says, wraps this all together. Vayikalu HaYehudim Asher Bishushan. Gam B'yomar Ba'asal L'chodesh Adar. So the Yidden only in Shushan, because that was Esther's request. She wanted one more day for Shushan. So in Shushan, everybody comes together on the 14th day. Vayargu Bishushan. They killed 300 people. Ubabizu Loishalach Yodim. Vishar HaYehudim Asher Bimedinis Hamelech. They only fought on the 13th day. So everybody was able to, doesn't matter where you are, Mehoidu Vat Kush, you were allowed a chepa on the 13th day. And Shushan, they got one more day. What was that extra day they got? They also got the 14th. Says the Megillah. And here's the punchline as it relates to what we need right now. So the people that lived in all the cities outside of Shushan, on the 13th day of Adar, they fought. And on the 14th, they relaxed. And it was a day of celebration. So throughout the world, the Yidden that took advantage of this decree of being able to do whatever you want, the fighting was on the 13th day, the noyach, and the resting was on the 14th day. And what did they do on that day of rest? They made it into a yoy mishta v'simcha. V'ayehudim asher b'shushan, but Yidden that were in Shushan, nikalu, b'shvoy shasabai, they fought on the 13th, ubar ba'asabai, and on the 14th, the noyach, and when did they rest? B'chamisha asabai. V'asa oisai, and it was that day that they made yoy mishta v'simcha. So the day that the Yidden in Shushan celebrated the first Purim was not the same day as the Yidden all over the world. The Yidden all over the world, Mehoidu Vad Kush, when did they celebrate Purim? It was on the 14th day. They fought on the 13th and they celebrated on the 14th. The Yidden in Shushan fought on the 13th and on the 14th and they celebrated on the 15th. And then the pasuk continues, Al-Kain, so that reason. Hayehudim HaProzim, the Yidden that live in open cities, Hayoishvim Ba'orei HaProzois, Oysim Es Yoyim Arba'as Al-Chaydash Adas Simcha U'mishta V'yontif U'mishloyach Manas Ishlo. They are for generations going to have an obligation to remember this incredible miracle on what day? The 14th. That was the day that everybody celebrated. That's the day that they're going to do it. And then the pasuk says, "Va'yichtav Mordechai asadvarim elo." Mordechai chronicled everything, and he sent svarim to all the Jews living everywhere that they should know this. What should they know? L'kayim aleihem lias oisem es yoyim arba asol l'chodesh adar ves yoyim chamisha asol by end the 15th. B'chol shana v'shana. And then there's a whole bunch of psukim that talk about what exactly the mitzvahs were. Vayomim me'ila niskarim v'nasim. Niskarim means you would read the Megillah, you would remember what happened. Presume nisa v'nasim. There'd be mitzvahs. Mishloach manos. There'd be matanos levyoinim. Etc. Etc. There's so many different psukim going on over here. But one thing is clear, that the original story for which we celebrate the Yontif of Purim, there was fighting on the 13th, resting on the 14th for Jews. Mehoidu Vat Kush outside of Shushan. Shushan was unique. Shushan, they fought on the 13th. They got one more day. That was Esther's request. So it was on the 14th as well. And when were they noyach? When did they rest? It was on the 15th. And as the Megillah says, that for history, We have 2 days of Purim. We have the day of Purim on the 14th to remember those that rested on the 14th. And then we have Purim on the 15th, also known as Shushan Purim. Why is it called Shushan Purim? Because that's when the Yidden and Shushan rested. And therefore we have that other day, we have that 15th day as well. But one thing is clear is that there's 2 days over here that we're straddling. We're straddling the 14th day and the 15th day. That's very much going to be the topic of Daf Beis. Just to end the introduction with one machshava, and that is, so we know why Haman picked the month of Adar. He picked the month of Adar because that's what the Geirah was. He built Pur and it came out to the month of Adar. But within Adar, he had to choose a day. And the day that he chose was Yud Gimel Adar. And the question is why? It doesn't say anywhere why he picked Yud Gimel. Why Adar? That was the Geirah. But Yud Gimel, why not Yud Aleph? Why not Yud Beis? Why not Yud Dalet? Why not Tezvav? Why did he pick Yud Gimel Adar? So the Arvei Nachal in Parsha Shmini, so he bases this on a vart that he saw from the Chesed Lavram. So who was the Chesed Lavram? Chesed Lavram was a tremendous mekubel. He was the grandfather of the Chidah. So the Chidah had a Zayda, the Chesed Lavram, that was very, very famous. He was considered the biggest mekubel in the world at that time. And in the Chesed Lavram, he talks about this Indian, and based on that, he says a pshat. The pshat, he says, is that we know that the Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim, literally, Egypt, they were on the brink of descending into Nun Shari Toma. They were in the Memtesh Shari Toma, and the Rizal said that had Hashem not taken the Yidden out at that moment, they would have slipped into the Shar Nun, and at that point, there would have been no hope. So Yitzias Mitzrayim wasn't just the Yitzia from the physical bondage that was Egypt, but there was a Yitzia from the spiritual bondage as well. The Yidden, again, they were literally slipping into the Shar Nun, and when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were able to escape that. Says the Chesed Lavram, that every single year when it comes Pesach, every Yid, regardless of who he is and where he is, on some level, is able to tap in to the Hashpois and the Oirois of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he is able to, on some level, emerge and leave his own Mitzrayim. He's able to leave his own Shar Memtes. But the truth is, says the Arvei Nachal, that this Inyan really starts not on Pesach. Because Chazal say that there's a mitzvah of Shoyalim V'Darshim B'Hilchis HaPesach Lamid Yoyim Koydim HaPesach. 30 days before Pesach, there's already a mitzvah to start engaging and to start learning all the halachas of Pesach. Which means that really the hashpois of Pesach don't start on Pesach, but they start 30 days before Pesach. So if that's true, Lefi L'Chesed L'Avram, that every single year, when the Hashpois of Pesach come, every Yid is able to tap in to some potential, to some energy, where you're able to leave your own Memtesh Shari Tumo. That means that Koyach really starts when? 30 days before. Now, what's 30 days before Pesach? 30 days before Pesach is Purim. Which means that, really, Yud Dalet Adar, which is 30 days before Pesach, Adar HaSamach HaNisan La'olam Chaser. So 30 days before Pesach, that's going to be the first day that a Yid is able to start tapping in to this Koyach to be able to emerge from his Tumah. So said that Arvei Nachal Adover Nifla. He says if the first day that the Yid emerges from his Tumah is Yud Dalet Adar, that means what's the last day that he submerged in his Shar Memtes? It's Yud Gimel Adar. Which means, what would be the day on the calendar that the Yid is in the most Tumadic state? It's probably Yud Gimel Adar. Because Yud Gimel Adar is where you're literally, you built up all this tumah throughout the year, and now Yud Dalet, it's Lamed Yoyim Koydim HaPesach, you're able to start emerging from the Shar Memtes, Kefi the Chesed Lavram, you're able to start emerging from your tumah. He said, Haman Arasha was able to tap in, he understood that this day the Jews were more vulnerable. There was something tumadig about Yud Gimel Adar, and that's why he picked this day, because he understood that this was the day of such intense tumah. But you know what happened? It was V'nahapachula Yehudim. It was that day, a day that the Yid really should be in a situation where he's so tameh. But that was the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Yid in this unbelievable Yeshua. It's another wrinkle in appreciating the Venapachu. It's another wrinkle in terms of understanding what Purim represents. Purim represents the miracle. Purim represents Hadi Kiblu B'Meach HaShverich. Purim is a day of Tefillah. Yom Kippurim is like the day of Purim. It's a concept of Melchemes HaMolek. There's something about Purim that the Rambam says. The Rambam talking. That it's Chamish Echum Shei Torah U'Ketayr Shabbat. Something we're going to have loss of love. It's also a day that a person is able to emerge. He's able to emerge Taka like Yom Kippur. And he's able to emerge from the Shar Memtes. And with that introduction, we begin Sechtes Megillah.